Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day so far. Hope your week has been well. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. When you go there, make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I upload any brand new content. Now, I got some big news for you people. I've been talking about this for quite some time. I needed to get to those 4,000 hours in a calendar year on my YouTube channel to be able to get monetized, to be able to do super chats and all that good stuff so I could become a partner. So my producer, Vulture, set up a great interview. Well, I'll admit, I was kind of reluctant, kind of hesitant to do the interview, the live stream that I did last night with Tampa Terry. Now, if you are a listener of the Bubble Love Sponge show and you watch his show on Twitch or you listen anywhere, you know Tampa Terry is from Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. And a lot of the Bubble Army maybe doesn't like care for him. So that's why I was a little reluctant. But I ended up having him on, and you can find that. It's available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. And it ended up being really, really good because Tampa Terry had a list of questions. It was like a reversal on the interview. He showed up prepared. He had show prep. He was asking me all types of questions. And I think this is something we're going to do probably like once a month. Tampa Terry is going to get questions from the Bubba Army or any of the people that listen to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. But I got to tell you, Tampa Terry put me over the top. I am now at 4,001 hour of content in a calendar year. So that now makes me an official partner on YouTube. And whenever I start doing my live streams, because a lot of you guys have been asking about that, because they don't want to use PayPal. You'll be able to tip me, kind of like bits, on Twitch whenever I do a live stream right now. And I'm not going to be like begging. I'm not going to be panhandling. So I don't want you guys to think that. I might mention it once per audio podcast and maybe once when at the beginning of a YouTube live stream. I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank my producer, Vulture. I want to thank all the supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast for checking out the content that I'm doing on a regular basis, because without you, this would not have been done. I've talked about this a lot on the show. Pretty much every time I have done something online when it comes to social media, I ended up having a terrestrial show to be able to promote it on, and I didn't have that. The only thing I had was word of mouth, me busting my ass, being consistent, and doing the show. Hell, I went on that six-month run where I was even doing it on the weekends. So I just want to thank all of you guys for telling your friends, family, coworkers, and loved ones that I was doing a podcast and helping the word grow when it comes to my show. So on Friday, I had to help out my good friend, Addie. Addie is somebody that I met last October. She was actually riding her bike around, and she was actually at the Hobo Fish Camp, and we became friends, and she's been helping me out a lot. She's been helping me out a lot when it comes to losing my father. She has been calling and talking and just chit-chatting with me every opportunity that she can. And we've been hanging out. She's been helping me keep my mind off of things. And she recently had a death in the family as well. It was her uncle. Now, the one thing you don't know about Addie is that her family is a very, very large Italian family. Not only Italian, but from New York, and not only from New York, from Long Island. So I ended up giving her a ride down to Delray Beach on Friday, and it was a great road trip. You know, you got to be careful when you say, oh, it was fun, it was a great trip and stuff. Yeah, under the circumstances, it was, you know, I wish it would have been different circumstances. I wish I would have been able to have a chance to meet her uncle, but we went down there. We weren't able to make it in time for the service because she had to work. We didn't leave until like 2:30 on Friday and actually made really, really good time making it down there. Did hit a little bit of traffic going down to West Palm Beach, but it was just fun. It was just fun to be able to go on a road trip. I don't know if you guys like road trips. Some people just do not like driving around. So we were able to, we listened to music. I would play some of my stuff. She would play some of her stuff. And it went by pretty quick. Now, she had been working a lot. There was a moment where she did take like a quick little 15-minute power nap. And that was kind of nice. It was nice just to be able to have a little bit of quiet and just let the trip go. But we ended up getting down there for the, after party celebration of life. And I got to tell you, you know, I watched The Sopranos. I watched all these, like, Italian movies, Italian TV, like, related shows. And this was the real deal. I mean, yeah, I could tell and I knew that Italians love to eat. They love to eat. Food is passion to them. And my God, you would not believe it was almost like there was a table a mile long with every single type of Italian food that you could ever, ever imagine. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit here because on the trip down, a lot of you guys probably would think, oh, you would take offense to this. No, I really did not take offense to this, but my friend Addie told me, he's like, listen, I'm not asking you not to be yourself, but just tone it down a little bit. Just listen. You don't have to be the life of the party. You don't have to be the guy that's always talking. Just listen. And I did that. I know a lot of you guys are probably like, oh, why are you letting her tell you what to do? No, this was something with her family. I was helping out. I was taking her down there, and I get it. I get it. You know, the Italians, they're a little bit of a, even though they're a big-ass family, they're kind of tight-knit a little bit. And then having this Southern guy come all the way down and hang out during this stuff, yeah, of course, I completely understand why she would want me to be just a little bit, just bring it down a few levels. And I did that. I met a lot of nice people. You know, I was very polite, helped clean up. After the engagement that they had, not like wedding engagement, but, you know, party that they had to move all the chairs, helped out with that. But I was in my head the whole time. I knew this was going to happen. I almost would have bet the farm on it, but it didn't take very, very long. I don't even know who it was, but one of the older ladies came up and was like, oh, Addie, is this your boyfriend? And I was like, no, we're not dating. We're just friends. Brought her down there and stuff. So I'm sure she got that a lot, more than I did, got that question. But, you know, like I said, yeah, we're just friends. Like, we really, really have helped each other out and stuff. So that was a little awkward, but it seemed like everybody liked me. It really, really did. And then we went back to her cousin's house, and we were hanging out, and one of my highlights of the whole weekend, and I know this is like very, very small, but her cousin, who is straight up like got the hardest of hardcore Long Island accent. And that's the thing about it, guys. My friend Addie, she really doesn't, her accent really has not come out that much being down here because she's not around her other relatives or other people from Long Island. Because I got to tell you, once you got all those Italians from Long Island hanging out with each other, Holy shit. The accents came out in full. It was like super Italian, Long Island. Like it was almost like a different language. But her cousin was using one of the YouTube apps. So, you know, the remote where you can actually like speak into the remote. And you can tell the YouTube app to like tell you what you want to find. Her accent was so thick. Oh, my God. I had to stop myself from laughing so hard because her accent, Long Island accent, could not be picked up by the YouTube app. And it was killing me. And at some point, she just gave up and just manually searched for what she was looking for on YouTube. So we hung out there for a little bit, and then we found out that the actual family was all getting together at my friend's uncle's house, the one that passed away. His nickname was Uncle Snook. Uncle Snook, man, he had a lot of friends, a lot of old friends, because he lived in one of these like 55-plus communities, and you wouldn't believe all the people that were there. Now, remember that spread that I was talking about earlier at the party? Yeah, they had already killed a whole bunch of that. Not like killed it, but like there was a lot of leftovers. And I'm glad Southern people aren't the only ones that keep leftovers, because they brought everything back, every single piece of food back from the party that they had, and they brought it back to Uncle Snook's house. Now, at Uncle Snook's house, everybody that was from the party was there, but it was a little bit more exclusive. Yeah, I'm not talking like it was a nightclub or anything, but it was a just gathering of the closest friends and family. And Uncle Snook had a little office out in the back. It was an enclosed-in, screened back porch, had all these amazing-ass pictures. And they were just all back there, the old heads, the old school guys that were friends and family and stuff were all back there telling stories and stuff. And I wanted to interview, because I brought all my recording equipment, my microphones and stuff like that. And I should have recorded it. But like I said, this was a celebration of life. I did not want to be disrespectful by pulling out my microphone. But when I talked to my friend Addy was like, no, it would have been fine. They would have loved that stuff. But I did get the guy's cards. I got like, see, that was the other thing. This was the most amount of business cards that I've gotten from anybody or any place in a really, really long time. And it was really, really cool. Everybody was so friendly. You know, we got into a little bit of it with some of her uncles, not into it, like into an argument, but they were like, how do you say such and such word? Like coffee. I said coffee, like, and they would say coffee. And then there was just like so many of these different words and stuff, but everybody was really, really, really nice. But back to the story, Uncle Snook, he was in a gang up in New York called the Dukes. And one of its friends from up north was just telling me story after story after story. They said Uncle Snook was so strong, he could actually, now see, I don't know if I believe this one, but I wasn't going to call the guy out, but they said like some of the small cars, because Snook was a little bit of a mechanic, it could flip a car up on its side and do the work underneath of it without having to kind of like put it up on jacks and stuff. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, maybe that's why Uncle Snook was the leader of the Dukes. And what I mean by gangs, I'm not talking about like gangs that go around and rob people. I'm talking about gangs that you had to form to be able to take care of yourself, to take care of your friends and your families and stuff. They weren't going out doing organized crime. This was all about protection. Now, I wasn't going to complain. Look, I was in this for the long haul. I was in this for the whole night, but man, I had already done a whole bunch of stuff, already been up early in the morning. My friend Addy had already worked a shift at the restaurant waitressing, and we didn't end up leaving until like 2:30, but we were tired, and it started getting till 1. I'm like, okay, we're going to be leaving soon. We're going to be leaving here really, really soon. And then it just kept rolling on. And every time you thought that they could not eat anymore, I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong, because the Italians, they love to graze. They were grazing their way through like a great migration across the African Serengeti, because it was just eat. And this is the other thing that I noticed, okay? Now, this wouldn't have happened. Like, look, there are similarities between Italians and like country folk from the South. They love to eat. The women love to take care of the men when it comes to food, and vice versa. I don't want you to think, oh, you know, the women are here to service. No, because I actually talked to some of the older women, and I was like, hey, can I ask you a question? I was like, I've already seen you clean up the kitchen like 3 times. I mean, does that not get tiring? And she replied, no, honey, no. We love feeding family. Family is food. Food is family. And then right when we're about to get ready to leave, and I think it might have been like 2:30 in the morning, we're still at her Uncle Snook's house, and they've pretty much gone through all the food, and then they actually start eating the Italian loaf bread, bagels from New York, and I gotta tell you, I actually joined in. Because you guys know that I've been working out. You guys know that I've been taking care of myself. But man, they were slicing bread. They were toasting it. And they were pitting this like Italian type butter. I had never, ever heard about it before. But one of her uncles got like, not upset, but kind of like looked at me like, what planet have you been on that you have never had this butter before? And I'm sorry. I said, sorry, man. Like, I usually just buy Publix brand butter, and I don't know what the hell it is, but my God, this shit was absolutely amazing. And they sat in there, and they housed about 4 loaves of Italian bread, and it was just fun. People loved it. It was just a great time. Everybody was telling stories, and it was just fun to be a part of, and I cannot think my friend Addie enough. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I'm going to wrap up the rest of my story and trip that I took with my friend Addie down to Delray Beach for the Celebration of Life party for her Uncle Snook. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with 2 D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Make sure you go to my website, Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with 2 D's. That's Tuttle.net. When you go there, you're going to be able to find every single place that you'll be able to find me online when it comes to my social media or internet influence. You can engage me on there. You're going to be able to find my social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever it may be, even my Reddit. So I want to get back into the rest of the story. So we're eating bread, eating this nice Italian butter. Everybody's just sitting in a small little kitchen. It's packed. Everybody's having a fantastic time. Now, then we go back to Addie's aunt's house, where I guess everybody decided that they were going to crash. I had to sleep on the couch. Addie slept on another couch. And then there were 2 of her cousins. They were brothers, and they were the partiers. They were pounding beers. It got to a point where it was about, 3:30 in the morning. They are still drinking, to the point where they're drinking Busch Light now, which Busch Light, you would think, is a Southern redneck type thing. But this one guy, he is an absolute barbarian. Heathen. He's a big old dude. He is drinking. He let the biggest fucking fart that I've ever heard in my life, and it was just bad. He just did not give a fuck what anybody think. Had no filter, and that's why I absolutely loved him. I adored him. But, dudes, I got to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's what time we were supposed to get up and leave, was 8 o'clock. They finally go to sleep. Now, they finally go to sleep. And you're like, yes, okay, I'm going to be able to finally shut my eyes. I'm going to be able to get about 5 hours worth of sleep. Then I'm going to have to drive 3 hours back up to Central Florida. I'm like, yes, this is great. Everybody, lights are finally out. I'm laying down, and I do not understand how one of her cousins fell asleep this quickly. Like, seriously, 30 seconds, and this guy is sleeping on the floor right next to me, because I'm on the couch, he is on the floor, and he is sleeping so hard that this is what it sounded like. Not only should this sound be used in every haunted house, spooky horror flick movie, you know, when somebody opens up a door to check out what that sound is that they heard, this is the stereotypical sound that you hear of every damn door opening in a horror movie. Now, this is what actually had me worried, people. If you notice, with every snore, it gets a little bit more shallow and it gets a little less more quiet. So what I'm trying to say is that this guy, I don't know if this happens all the time. I don't know if it's because of maybe partying too much that night. But I, you know, with my OCD, ADHD stuff, I started trying to figure out his pattern, his rhythm of stuff, because I would start counting. Because here, you know what? I'll let you listen to the rest of it so you know what I'm talking about. All right, people, I'm going to give you a little bit of a science lesson here. If you don't know what the sound of that is a stereotypical case of sleep apnea. Like I said, I don't know if it's because he was drinking a lot that night. I'm not saying like over drinking. It's not like he was driving, so good for him. I used to be a partier like that. But what I'm trying to say is that brief moment of no snoring, followed by, yeah, that is him stopping breathing and his body saying, wake up, you forgot to breathe. And then that's him gasping for air. I think at one time I counted up to 13 Mississippi, and I was like, I'm giving it until 15. If I don't hear him snoring or breathing after 15 seconds, I'm breaking out the paddles. I'm breaking out the paddles to, like, shock him back alive or whatever it may be. Because this guy, he's a really, really cool dude. And I don't want him to, like, die of sleep apnea. It trust me, I didn't record too much, but here's just a little bit more. Do you guys actually hear what I'm talking about? He starts off after the gasp of breath, it goes back to a normal quick snore, and then you're going to hear the snoring. The snoring is going to get slower, and it's going to get lighter until he stops breathing. This is your, like I said, this is sleep apnea all day. Yeah. See, and this is why I'm not mentioning last names, first names. Well, I mean my friend Addy, yes, of course, but I'm not going to bring out any of this stuff. And I'm not making fun of this guy. I actually was really, really, really concerned to the point where I barely got any sleep because I at one point I was like, it's my responsibility to make sure that this cousin of Addy's does not die from sleep apnea. I was up all goddamn night listening to him breathing. And I was like, all right, I have my threshold. Anything over 15 Mississippi, I'm going to get off the couch and I'm going to either wake him up or start doing heart compressions or chest compressions because that's what it was. And I got to tell you, waking up the next morning on little sleep, we were supposed to leave at 8 a.m. We were going to get up at 8, maybe leave by 8:30. We didn't get out of there until 10:15, maybe 10:30. But the reason why is because they ended up bringing over breakfast. Once again, eat. And I don't want you to think that her family is a bunch of fat asses because they're not. I mean, some of them are pretty stacked. And when I mean stacked, I mean pretty thick because, you know, they're working out. They're really, really tough guys. You know, you can eat a lot if you're always staying active and you're doing like man stuff. You know, like picking up cars and pin them on their side so you can change the transmission or whatever. So they bring over bagels, real New York bagels, bagels with the New York water in them. I still have never, ever understood why they say New York bagels taste better. So we had the bagels. I'm out back. I'm looking at the wildlife, fucking iguanas, saw some iguanas. But her aunt, however you want to say it, had a mango tree out back. And there's all these mangoes all over the ground, still great. Must have just recently fell. She went out, helped me get some of those mangoes because I'm going to bring home something to my mom. Oh, this is the other thing I forgot about. Last night, or that night when we got back done with everything, Addy is out there with a machete. Something like you would see somebody in the Caribbean carrying around, you know, to do battle with. Because they got coconut trees out there. They got coconuts. I parked my truck underneath, my dad's truck underneath one of them. I was like, yeah, I need to move this. Because there were coconuts everywhere. And I should not be that guy. Should not be that guy that's always concerned, trying to be protective or whatever. But Addy is out there just chopping at this coconut with a machete for about, I'd say, 10 minutes. 10 minutes. We're on no sleep. They've been partying. And I was like, oh, my God, please. This is the her, like, accidentally chopping off a piece of her a toe or something like that, or ricocheting back and hitting her. But I didn't say anything. Did not say anything at all because she, you know, that's the thing about me and my friend Addy is that, you know, we're very, very open and honest with each other. And like, if we're doing something that annoys us or whatever, like, we'll say it. We'll come out and say it. And sometimes it does cause some rifts and stuff, but we are able to get over everything like that. So that was kind of freaking me out. But I was able to bring some mangoes out, had those bagels. But I guess the Italians, they cannot say goodbye, like, right away. It's like a whole process. It's like a very, very long process. So we finally get out of there. Now, this is on Saturday, not a lot of traffic. We make really, really, really good time. We stop at a Petland, I think around Stewart, because my friend Addy ended up just getting the urge. I need to get a cat. Because she was telling me the story about how her uncle got her one of her first cats and stuff, and she just wanted a cat. This is the type of person my friend is. And we ended up stopping there, could not get a cat there. But then when we got back to the Volusia County area, we stopped at a Petland there, and she found the perfect cat for herself. She wanted a Siamese cat and was able to get one. That took a little bit of extra time. Was already tired, but it really did not bother me. did not bother me at all because I talked to her yesterday and the cat has already fallen in love with her. Like, that's her brand new buddy. So I was glad that I was able to be a part of something like that, even though it did take up a little extra time. But it was overall a great experience. I'm sorry for my friend Addie's loss. You know, a lot of people, you guys are probably like, oh, you're a sucker, Tuttle, for doing that. You know what? You know what I'll tell you? Fuck you. Fuck you. I had a great time hanging out with a bunch of amazing ass people. Addie has been supporting me and helping me out through a tough time after my father's passing, calling and checking on me every day and hanging out with me. So as soon as I heard she needed a ride to be able to get down there, I jumped at the opportunity to do that. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Last segment of today's show. I'm kind of glad that I hung on to this news story. Yesterday, I ended up seeing a movie that I have not seen in a really, really long time. I actually forgot about this movie. You gotta remember, in the 90s, there were two guys in the 90s that nobody was bigger than. You had Nick Cage and John Travolta. And I actually think Nick Cage might have been one of the biggest actors in the 90s. But this movie, it could happen to you. It's about Nick Cage. It had Nick Cage, Bridget Fonda, and Rosie Perez in it. And it was about a cop that went into a diner, did not have enough money for a tip. He had just bought a lottery ticket for his wife, Rosie Perez. And all he could see in the wallet was a lottery ticket. So what he did is he told Bridget Fonda, who is the waitress, that if I win the lottery, I will split this. We'll become partners, 50-50. And if we don't win, I will come back in tomorrow and I will just double your tip either way. So he goes in the next day and he says, hey, I'm going to say behind door number one is I'm going to double your tip. Or door number two, I will split whatever I won on the lottery. Well, Nick Cage ended up winning $4 million, ended up having to split it with the waitress. Now, the reason I'm bringing up that movie is because in this next story, this guy wins the lottery. This guy wins the lottery. And the thing is that good people, the ones that are going to do good with money or not just piss it away and just spend it on absolute complete bullshit, are the ones that end up winning. You know also who wins? The really, really, really old people. The ones that are going to die anyways. So what good does it do them to believe in or to win the lottery? That's why I don't believe in karma, people. You know, because scumbags are the ones that win the goddamn lottery. But I'm going to play this next story for you because, you know what? I don't feel bad for this guy at all. I do not feel bad for him one bit at all for spending your shit on dumbass stuff that you won from the lottery.
It was a typical afternoon here at this West Warren gas station in Detroit near Grand Boulevard. Customers coming in, filling up with gas, buying lottery tickets.
Now, I got to figure out, is this guy from Australia or the United Kingdom? Because how does an Australian or Brit end up doing news in Detroit, Michigan?
It was a favorite spot for our victim, Jamal.
Thanks, Lee.
Customer walks in, shakes his hand, a couple more customers behind. The guy in the black pay close attention to him. And his buddy, right behind. They're looking for some easy pickings. And Jamal is their target.
I hit the lottery.
Jamal won $30,000 on the Michigan lottery, bought himself a $20,000 necklace. You see, he's wearing it there.
I know that they want it. They want it fair and square. It is their money to be able to do whatever they want to with it. And I'm not, when I mean they, I'm talking about other lottery winners. I'm not talking about African Americans or any minority. See, that's the world we're living in that I got to cover my ass over something so goddamn innocent that it could get me kicked off of everything that I've worked so hard to be able to build up. No, but do I feel bad for this guy? You won $30,000 and you spend $20,000 of it on a fucking chain. You spend 2/3 of your lottery earnings on a fucking necklace when you could have done something good with that. I don't know if this guy has already got a house. I don't know, but that's money that you could be putting away for college, tuition, just whatever it may be, but not a fucking $20,000 chain. And I still didn't really get a good look at this. What does a $20,000 chain even look like?
He's heard of people getting robbed for their jewelry.
Yeah, it's a thing. So I was just like, just looking around, making sure nobody ain't trying to get my chain, but...
But they did get his chain. He walks out the store. The suspects were waiting.
So I ran back and tried to get back into the gas station. They had grabbed me, tackled me down.
A particularly vicious attack, punching him, kicking him, getting him to the ground, ripping off his gold.
Also, the other thing is, you know, when you get expensive pieces of jewelry like that, you wear it for special occasions. You don't wear it just to go put gas, 87 octane, into your car. You're not going to be wearing your fucking $20,000 chain, especially in Detroit, Michigan. I'm not trying to stereotype or anything, people, but just be smart. This is exactly why I do not feel bad for this asshole one bit at all.
They took off running and jumped in their car and took off down Warren.
The gas station owner says he recognized that tall guy in that black top. A few months back, he was in the store. There he is in the white hoodie this time. And his MO was exactly the same. Scope out somebody with some jewels. Here, this man walking towards the store, grabs his necklace, and runs away. Investigators believe he lives in the area.
I want to know what this reporter looks like. See, now listening back to this news story, I'm like, yes, I got to get that. This guy, it seems like he is like the head honcho or like the most popular guy. I just want to know how somebody like this gets stuck reporting news in Detroit, Michigan.
We're asking anybody who knows who he is to please give them a call. And that's the scene on the west side with a night cam. Tim Pamplin, Local 4.
I even love the way he closed it out. The guy is just so over the top and dramatic. And I know a lot of people probably think that that's cheesy, but I love it. I absolutely love it. Because you know what? Local news is boring. It's just bland, monotone delivery. And this guy right here tells you a story. This guy is a great host. If I'm being honest, this guy deserves to be at the anchor's desk. If I was a program director, I would tell whoever was there, I don't care if it was another woman that was hot as hell, because you know all these local TV news production or PDs, they're all looking for hot. They're looking for a mix of people that are good on the air as well. It's just, I would put this guy, I could not get this guy at the news desk quick enough. I know that I'm probably going to get in trouble by YouTube for, like, playing this audio, but I really don't give a fuck. I really don't because, you know, a lot of people do not watch America's Got Talent. I usually do not, but they will have a performer with a great story come on. And the one that they had on last week, the girl that goes by the singing name Nightbird, man, this one hit me really, really hard because my mom has had cancer quite a few times. And, you know, like I've gone through hard times. Everybody has gone through hard times. But this 30-year-old girl, this woman, has cancer at the moment. She's been battling cancer for a really, really, really long time. And then at the end of the segment, talks about how she only has a 2% chance of survival when it comes to the cancer she's battling. But I'm going to play this for you. I'm not going to interrupt it at all. I want you guys, because I've cut it down a little bit because it does draw out a little bit, but I played the most important parts that I could. But and you know what? It is so good. And that's why I said I'm probably going to get in trouble. But I just want to play the audio for you because I like sharing stuff like this to my audience. But there's nothing my dumbass is going to be able to say. But this is the singer Nightbird, who is battling cancer at the moment, has been battling cancer for a really, really long time on America's Got Talent. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
What do you do for a living?
I have not been working for quite a few years. I've been dealing with cancer.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
All right. Can I ask you a question? How are you now?
Last time I checked, I had some cancer in my lungs, my spine, and my liver.
Wow. So you're not okay?
Well, not in every way, no.
You got a beautiful smile and a beautiful glow, and nobody would know.
Thank you. It's important that everyone knows I'm so much more than the bad things that happened to me.
Summertime, I changed my name thinking that it would change my mind. I thought that all my problems they would stay behind. I was a stick of dynamite and it just was a matter of time, yeah. But I burned them all. Yeah, I burned them all. I blow through yellow lights and don't look back at all. I don't look back at all. Oh, dang, oh my, now I can't hide. Said I knew what I wanted, but I guess I lied. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay.
You know, about authenticity. There was something about that song after the way you just almost casually told us what you're going through and, you know.
You can't wait until life isn't hard anymore before you decide to be happy.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPairClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407 870-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
A society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they know they will never sit in. Good people do things for other people. That's it, the end.